Hello, everybody. Big Sur is finally here. I'm going to give you a quick tour and show you a few of the settings I've changed so that I could use it day to day. Next on Hands on Mac. Hands on Mac comes to you from Twit's LastPass Studios. You're focused on security, but are your employees LastPass? Can sure they are by making access and authentication seamless, whether employees are working in the office or remotely. Visit LastPass.com/Twit to learn more.
This is Twit.
This episode of Hands on Mac is brought to you by IT Pro TV. If you're looking to expand your IT career, you need IT Pro TV. Visit itpro.tv/twit for an additional 30% off all consumer subscriptions for the lifetime of your active subscription. Use the code TWIT30 at checkout. Hello, everybody. Leo Laporte here. We timed it pretty well because, as you remember, we did 5 episodes of The Road to Big Sur. And right about the end, Big Sur finally came out. Came out with the announcement of the new M1-based Macintosh computers. Next week, by the way, I'll do I'll give you a closer look. I bought the MacBook Pro 13 using the new Apple Silicon M1 chip, and I will give you the ins and outs on that. But we should probably take a look at Big Sur, because as soon as I install it, I realized I had gotten some things wrong on our Road to Big Sur series, and there's some things I wanted to change almost right away. So let's talk a little bit about that. First of all, the things I got wrong. I was really hoping to be able to make a USB key and do a clean install of Big Sur from that USB key. But Apple threw me a curve. It's still possible, but it's a lot more difficult. So I wanted to explain, if you want to install Big Sur, probably the easiest thing to do, in fact, the thing I would now recommend, is not do a clean install, but just do it from your system updates, because there are a lot of changes going on under the hood, and there's new security features, and really it's a lot harder to do it just from a USB key. For one thing, any Mac with a T2 chip, which is most of the newest Macs, will not boot to an external USB drive without jumping through some hoops. You actually have to monitor, or rather modify, the security settings in the recovery mode to say boot from an external drive. That is no longer possible on newer Macintosh computers. So this booting and installing from USB is not as easy as it once was. And in fact, that's one of the problems people are already starting to point out with Big Sur. Big Sur is the most secure version of macOS ever. In many respects, I would say it is the most secure desktop operating system ever. Maybe Chrome OS comes close. Certainly iOS is similar. This started with Catalina. The operating system actually sits in 2 different volumes. If you open Disk Utility, you can see that, and I'll show you right here. Here's Disk Utility. And you see we have 2 different containers. This is the internal solid-state drive, a 1-terabyte drive inside this iMac. But inside the drive, there's 2 containers. There's Leoville, which is the system volume. And then there's Leoville data, which is everything else. Leoville is really just a mounted system snapshot. Notice that? And it is read-only. It cannot be written to. And now it is signed by Apple. That means not only cannot not be written to, it can't be copied anywhere else. I mean, you could copy it, but it'd be useless because you couldn't boot to it. So this is problem number one, starting with Big Sur. You cannot currently make a bootable clone of your hard drive. Carbon Copy Cloner, Super Duper no longer make bootable clones. The workaround, according to Mike Bombich at Carbon Copy Cloner, is to make the clone of your entire drive and then install Big Sur onto that USB or external drive. You actually have to install it because only Apple can sign it. And only if it's signed by Apple can you boot to it. And there is, as far as I know, no way to turn off that security feature. That's a good thing. It means hackers can't modify your system. It's read-only. You can't accidentally install a third-party version of macOS and boot to it, the hacker version of macOS. It's going to stop Hackintosh's probably cold. It's also going to make it very difficult to install non-Apple software on your Macintosh, except in emulation. So a big shift. I suspect T2 Macs and then, of course, all the new Apple Silicon Macs are going to really be locked down quite a bit. So that is the first change. It goes along with that. You can't boot an external drive. It is really for your security, but it is a big change. And it does change some of the things that we are used to doing, like the clean install that I used to do. So what I ended up doing on all my systems is, you know, just installing Big Sur using the system update feature built into the system preferences. And actually, that worked fine. It's pretty much like a clean install. Apple is putting a whole new system folder on your system. The old one does not persist. It does copy over everything, all the applications and any compatible kernel extensions. So it's going to be the least difficult way to install Big Sur. Unless you really want to dive deep, I would just use the built-in system update features. Now, let's take a look at Big Sur and some of the changes, because there's quite a few. First of all, this wallpaper. it's graphical. It's pretty. It's a graphical representation of Big Sur. It's a little cartoony for my taste, but there are some new wallpapers in Big Sur. In fact, we can go to the system preferences and take a look. That's one of the first things you're going to notice. It's not the biggest change, but I guess we might as well show people how to change their desktops. It's in the desktop and screensaver system preference. This is my favorite dynamic desktop. It's an actual photo, Big Sur, kind of, you know, like Yosemite and Mojave. It's a California landmark, quite pretty. And it does have that dynamic feature that it changes over time. You'll still have your old Catalina desktop, but then there are these other kind of cartoony desktops available. And you can even, and this is a nice feature, if you have multiple monitors or you can have different desktops for each monitor, you can even have different desktops for different workspaces. So they've done a really nice job, I think, of making these desktops much more useful. I'm still a fan of the photorealistic desktop. So that was one of the first things I did. The next thing you're going to notice is also cosmetic. The icons have changed. Look at that rounded square rectangle for the Finder is very different. The windows have changed. Frankly, they're a little flatter. I think not quite as useful as they used to be. Notice they're hiding some of the icons that go with titles. It's going to take a little getting used to this, but eventually I think we'll kind of live with it. I was not a fan of the new menu bar. In fact, one of the first things I did is modify the menu bar. The text is thinner and, in my opinion, harder to read. So that's when you're going to want to go back into system preferences, and you can only do one change to the menu bar, make it slightly larger. It's hidden away in the accessibility features under display. In fact, you might want to zoom in a little bit on this, because here's the display system preference. You can see I can make the menu bar size larger. It's a little bit larger, not a lot larger, and you do have to log out. You can improve display's contrast, which, of course, for people with difficult vision will help. I don't think that that's that helpful. Reduce transparency. There's just not a lot you can do. And I'm not a big fan, frankly, of this new menu bar. Actually, one more thing I want to change, though. I always make my cursor a little bit bigger. If you're on an iMac or a laptop and you want to have a little bit of bigger cursor, you can do that in the accessibility. I love this shake mouse pointer to locate. This is not new to Big Sur, but it's very handy for me. And then the other thing I like to do is I don't like a transparent menu bar. Now this one's going to be, let's see, don't log out now. We'll worry about that bigger menu bar later. But this transparent menu bar is really a matter of taste. I personally find it a little bit difficult to see it, because now it adopts the color of the wallpaper, which means the menu bar is just, I think, a little bit harder to read, a little less visible. It's under Dock and Menu Bar. In fact, we're going to spend almost all the show in this new combined system preference pane called Dock and Menu Bar. So You can choose the size of the dock and magnification as always. That's not changed much. In fact, most of this is still the same. Automatically hide and show the menu bar. That's always been the same. But look at this control center. This is the biggest change, not merely cosmetically, but functionally to how the Macintosh operates. Let's get all the way over to the right corner so we can play with this a little bit. Let's show you, first of all, the new control center. If you're an iOS user, you're going to say, oh, I recognize that. Actually, we'll hit it from here. I recognize that. This is just like the control center on iOS. That's right. Wi-Fi, Bluetooth. You can turn AirDrop on and off here. There's a Do Not Disturb feature. You control screen mirroring, the brightness of the display, the sound levels, all controlled here in music. You can change what's in this control panel, not as drastically as you can with iOS, but I really do like the feature of being able to take some of this stuff out of the menu bar and hiding it in the control panel. There's also widgets. These look very familiar, don't they? These are exactly the same widgets as you see on iOS. We'll talk about those in just a little bit. Your notifications show up here in a stack. So first, let's modify what we're going to see in this menu bar and the control center. You can't turn off showing Wi-Fi in the control center. Most of these settings always appear in the control center, but you can turn it off in the menu bar. And now that it's easily found in the control center, I don't see a need to have it occupying space on my, as you can see, very crowded menu bar. So I'm turning all of these off. Same with Bluetooth, AirDrop, Do Not Disturb, screen mirroring. All of these appear in the control center. It seems silly for me to have that in the menu bar. And you see, I've much cleaned up the menu bar. I've been using various utilities to shrink the menu bar because I have so much in there. You should see my iMac at home. It's crazy. I'll show you. I'm going to show you iStat menus at some point in Hands-On Mac because I told you I would, and that takes up a lot of menu bar space. So getting this stuff out of the menu bar is kind of nice. So I've removed all that. Now my menu bar is just third-party stuff that I've installed, and everything else is living here in the control center. I kind of like that. You notice add additional modules to your control center, accessibility shortcuts, fast user switching. I don't want that in the menu bar either. That's that little people head that lets you choose who's logged into your computer. I'm the only one using my computer. I don't need that, but you could, if you wanted, put it in the control center. There it is down there. These are things that don't appear in the control center, but you do control them in the menu bar. I personally always turn off Spotlight because Command Space launches that. Siri, if I'm going to launch it, I'm not going to launch it from the menu bar. Time Machine, you can turn that on or off. So that's no longer in the Time Machine control panel, is it? Nope, it's here. Look, there's a little bug. I'm checking it. It's disappearing, but it's not changing. There. So there's a few. By the way, this is not the only bug. I found a few. In fact, there's some fairly significant bugs. I'm able to crash my computer consistently by using Disk Utility to format a Drobo. There's some bugs. I'm sure we're going to see a fix. Remember, I told you not to install Big Sur right away. You wouldn't want to install Big Sur 11.0. Well, good news, you can't. The shipping version that we're all installing is 11.0.1, but I told you not even to install that one. Install 11.0.2, the fix to 11.0.1. In fact, I might even wait a little bit longer because there are some serious bugs. So the control panel, the biggest difference, very obvious difference, the new notification center, I think is pretty nice. I'm not crazy about how these are stacked. Notice notifications show up at the top here. You have the drop-down options to turn on, or, well, in this case is Wi-Fi calling, so this is the reply to this is to turn that on. But there's other things. The way it's stacked makes it a little bit difficult. You press the close box, they all go away. But Apple had to make room for these. These are the widgets. And if you've used iOS, you're going to say, oh, these are iOS widgets. In fact, programmatically, they pretty much are, which is one reason we're going to see a lot of applications start to put their widgets on Mac OS. Fantastical, of course, already has a widget, a variety of widgets, small and medium. There's also a large widget if you want to really take up some space. This is very much like the iOS experience. Apple's tools also have their own widgets. And in many cases, always look for this smaller medium. You have choices. You can see this is the clock bar I'm using. Notes can also live there in small, medium, or large. Photos. I like having a large photo widget. So if I want to put that in my widget bar, I just drag it in just like that. You can organize it too. It's very easy to do. So maybe I'll have my stocks up here. I actually don't want the Apple calendar. I'm going to have Fantastical be my calendar. So I'll drag this over here. Weather notice, it says I'm in Santa Clara. That's not so easy. Let's change that to my location. That's something you're going to do right out of the box. So it'll show your current weather. You can't change the size of a widget from the widget, unfortunately. You have to close the widget and replace it with the widget size that you want, but that's easily done. Move it around like this. Very iOS-y, right? I don't care about screen time. I always turn that one off. So browse around, and you'll see as you add applications, just as on iOS, some applications will have their own widgets. It's really more like iPad OS because the widgets can't exist anywhere on the desktop. They just exist here in the notification center. But I kind of like that. I think that's a nice feature. It is part of the iOSification of Mac. And Big Sur definitely takes us a long step of the way. You'll also see considerable iOSification of your Messages app, and there's a reason for that. This is the iOS Messages app. It's the catalyst version of it. So now we have pinning, just as we do in iOS, of your favorites, up to, I think, 6 favorites in there. I think that's a nice feature. Messages now has a lot of the features that iOS had. So there's some real parity, finally, in Messages. Photos has been drastically changed as well. There's new photo editing capabilities. You'll want to play with that. I can't say I'm a fan of this new smaller font and thinner font. I find this hard to read, but I don't know of any way to fix this except to change screen resolution. So I wonder if in time we're going to get some third-party additions that maybe will make this a little bit more legible. Clearly, this was designed by Apple's designers who are all under 30 and have no trouble with their vision. I expect we're going to hear a lot of complaints. The edit tools have absolutely been enhanced. It's really now possible, I think, to do almost anything with photos that you would want to do right from Apple's photos. For most people, this is going to be the photo editor of choice. You don't need to go out and get a fancy third-party editor. Time Machine has also changed, but it isn't going to be apparent because if you've already got Time Machine, you won't get the benefits. What you'll want to do is take your Time Machine drive, wipe it, create a new Time Machine backup, because when you do that, you can convert it to APFS, the new Apple file system. Finally, Time Machine supports that. We've been waiting for it because the way Time Machine works is kind of a kludge using hard SIM links. It's not ideal. With APFS, they can use snapshots. It's more efficient. Time Machine is a lot faster than it used to be. In fact, it's so much faster that it won't be a big deal erasing your old Time Machine backup and creating it anew. Of course, don't do that if you've got older versions because you're going to lose those. Maybe get a new drive, formatted APFS, and put Time Machine on that. But that is a big improvement. And going forward, I'm going to absolutely do that with my Time Machine drive. I want it to be running APFS. It's going to be more reliable. It's going to be faster. It's going to be less of a kludge. I think that's a big improvement. I showed you the new wallpaper. There's one other cosmetic feature that I want to highlight. Let me back out here. The sounds are different. They're changed. So we're going to go back. Let's close photos and go back to our... By the way, the menu bars have also changed. You're going to see a lot of little features that have migrated. It's going to take a little getting used to, I think. Let me look at the sounds here real quickly because I think they're better. You may have heard me complain about the sounds on Mac OS, the old sounds. Let me put on my headphones so I can hear these. I'll play them for you. Some of the newer sounds in the sound effects. They say they're just modified versions of the old sound effects. Let's see. We're going to play it back through the USB pre. And I'm going to turn it on here. I'm going to turn up the volume. See, that's a little different. It's similar, but different. There's bubble, crystal, funky, heroin. These sounds have not been updated since, I think, since System 7. So I'm very glad to welcome some new, I think, not so annoying sounds. So play with the sounds. This used to be Sosumi, now it's Sonumi. It's similar, right? Sosumi has been around since the very first Macintosh. It's similar but different. So you get a chance to change your sounds a little bit. Notice there's another check mark you're going to really like, at least I do. The new Macs with Big Sur can play the startup chime. Now, there's always been a command line to turn that on, but that's for pretty advanced users. Now, it's just a checkbox in the sound preference pane. Your startup chime is back. I'm told the new M1 Macs come with the startup chime turned on. Yay. I love it that Apple is kind of celebrating the history of the Mac and still moving forward. Expect to see a lot of complaints about the cosmetics of Big Sur. There's some really nice new features. Take a look at the battery system preference pane. If you're on a laptop, that's really nice and usefully done. There are some gotchas, as I mentioned, with APFS and bootable drives and so forth. Some of the things we're used to doing on Macs will be different. I think the biggest difference, though, is coming when we get these new Apple Silicon-based Macs. That's when Apple's really going to start locking down what you can do with Mac OS. Our show today brought to you by IT Pro TV. Whether you're a manager of an IT team or an individual looking for more IT skills, IT Pro TV has the professional training you're looking for. They're the official video training partner for CompTIA. They also provide Cisco training, Linux training, Apple training, security, and more. Go to itpro.tv/twit and use the code TWIT30 to get 30% off all consumer subscriptions for the lifetime of your active subscription. That's itpro.tv/twit. Use the offer code TWIT30. IT Pro TV. Build or expand your IT career and enjoy the journey. That's our tour of Big Sur. I did 5 episodes on getting ready for it. I hope you watched. I hope you got ready. I hope you had a successful install. If you haven't yet installed, maybe a good idea to keep waiting a little bit longer. There's nothing in Big Sur you have to have, and there's some pretty big shifts that might take a little bit of getting used to. But I think overall, Apple's done another bang-up job. But what really excites me is not Big Sur on an Intel Macintosh, but Big Sur on the new Apple Silicon. We'll take a look at that next week. I'm Leo Laporte. Have a wonderful weekend. There's a new sound. I'll see you next time on Hands on Mac.
I'm Jason Howell, host of Tech News Weekly here on twit.tv, along with my co-host, Micah Sargent. Each and every week, we talk to people who are making and breaking the tech news. It could be journalists writing amazing tech stories. It could be experts. It could be the sources of the stories themselves, developers, you name it. We bring them onto the show, and we talk to them about why their story is resonating with the world. You can watch and subscribe by going to twit.tv/TNW. Make sure you do that and you won't miss a single episode. We'll see you there.